الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to episode 3 of Finding the Balance, Rediscovering the Ideal Muslimah. Now, as you know, in this series, we are asking the following questions. Who is the Muslim woman? What are her abiding characteristics? And how can we live up to the standard that has been set for us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in today's day and age? Now, it's no doubt that our deen encourages us to evolve and grow spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, physically, and socially. And all of that for the sake of seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. This series is here to help you do just that. But before we continue with this particular episode, I'd like to just give you this short reminder from the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "So their Lord responded to them, 'I will never deny any of you, male or female, the reward of your deeds. Both are equal in reward. Those who migrated or were expelled from their homes and were persecuted for my sake and fought and some were martyred, I will certainly forgive their sins and admit them into gardens underneath which rivers flow as a reward from Allah. And with Allah is the finest of rewards.'" And the reason I wanted to remind you of that is that so often we have this perception that the expectations that are placed upon us as Muslim women are different to those of our brothers, that somehow less is expected of us. But this couldn't be further from the truth. And that is why this series is focusing on how we as Muslim women can firstly understand and then achieve those high standards that have been set for all of us as Muslims. And how can we embody characteristics that are seemingly opposite? Well, let's find out, because in this episode, we're going to ask the question, can a Muslim woman be strong and gentle at the same time? Let's do it. So let's kick this conversation off by talking about strength. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "The strong believer is more beloved to Allah than the weak believer, but there is goodness in both of them." Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu also reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Whom do you consider to be a fighter amongst you?" And we said, "One whom we cannot wrestle down." But the Prophet ﷺ said to them, "No, it's not so. Rather, it is one who controls himself when angry." And the reason I wanted to bring these two hadith together is because strength in our deen is seen in a holistic way. A lot of people, when they hear the word strong, they think of physical strength, they think of muscles, they think of, you know, all sorts of things, being able to lift heavy weights, etc. But when we look at the strength of a Muslim woman and a Muslim, we're looking at strength of character. We're looking at the strength of iman. We are looking at qualities like emotional strength and resilience. There is also intellectual strength that is encouraged by the deen, and the physical strength and health that we should all be aiming for. So on this point of strength, I would like you to remember, my sister, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs you and wants you to be strong. To be strong for yourself, to be strong for the deen, to be strong for your family, to be strong for those who need you. So that quality of strength is something that we should all be looking to embody. Now, of course, in many of our societies, it's seen as a masculine trait to be strong. But I hope that I've been able to give you a little bit of food for thought for how that characteristic of strength actually is something that is praiseworthy in both men and women, in varying degrees. But then, if Muslim women are supposed to be strong, can we be gentle as well? Well, Aisha radiallahu anha reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Verily Allah is gentle and He loves gentleness. He rewards for gentleness that which is not granted for harshness, and He does not reward anything else like it." Subhanallah. We also have the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ tells us, "Be cheerful, not threatening, and make things easy, not difficult." So we can see that just as strength is something that is encouraged, strength that is praiseworthy, we are encouraged to embody that, we are also encouraged to be gentle. Gentle in our manners with ourselves and with the people. Gentle in our speech and the way that we talk to people. Gentle with our loved ones, those who rely on us, those who need us, and gentle with the people in general. This is something that we very often lack in today's society because we are so intent on getting to the next thing, ticking off everything on the to-do list, just getting stuff done, that we forget to be gentle and soft and kind with the people, even our families. So this is something that I would like you, sis, to take some time out and ask yourself, if we are to embody the characteristics of the believing women, of the ideal Muslimah, how can we balance these two characteristics within ourselves? That inner strength and that gentleness. Because when the two of them are together in a person, mashallah, amazing things can happen. And may Allah make it easy for all of us to embody those characteristics. But don't go away, because the sisters and I are going to be discussing some of the amazing stories from Islamic history in which Muslim women displayed stunning acts of bravery and strength. Trust me, you do not want to miss these. And we are going to be reflecting on the inspiration that we can take from them. So I'll see you then. And we are back with my lovely sisters, Talha and Sister Anisa, to talk more about this issue of the strength of Muslim women. I've been talking about how to balance strength and being gentle. But again, I have to keep going back to my source material for this series. Okay, when I read The Ideal Muslimah way back, a lot of people get triggered by the book nowadays, but for me, what stood out for me in that book was the stories of the women of the past, because they were stories I'd never heard. I had never heard about Nusayba. I had never heard about Safiya. I did not know that Muslim women had played such an active role in the propagation of Islam from its early days, right? And I think that there is a perception, even amongst Muslims in general, that there are only like one, two, three Muslim women that are worthy of note, right? But I think that it's upon us, all of us as Muslims, to be so much more knowledgeable about our history and also be prepared to be inspired by those women, for us as women especially, and for our daughters. I think it's really important. So I wanted to ask you which women from the past you feel inspired you, have inspired you on your journey, and why?
Yeah, I would say for me, the story of Khadija radiallahu anha really resonated well. Because she was married to, you know, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she, you know, financially, emotionally supported him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I guess every woman or any woman who has similar kind of lifestyle, they would gravitate towards such role models. Khadija radiallahu anha was married to, you know, a prophet, and alhamdulillah, married to, you know, a student of knowledge. So sometime, you know, like say, you know, at one episode in our life, my husband was working as an imam. So when he used to come home, he used to just, you know, ask me like, you know, what do you think I should talk about in terms of the khutbah? So sometime, you know, I would find myself giving him a certain suggestion, and based on my suggestion, he would do the khutbah. Mashallah. So mashallah, you know, so sometime, you know, when we look at these wonderful women in the past, there is a woman that everyone can relate to, you know?
Yes.
So for me, it's Khadija radiallahu anha, because of my lifestyle, you know? And also, like you know, she was, you know, trying to support her husband behind the scene, you know? And she was instrumental in that, you know, propagation of Islam, because we know later on when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was speaking to Aisha, and she said, you know, why do you always think about this old woman? You know, Allah has given you someone better. And he said, no, Allah hasn't, because she believed in me when no one believed in me, you know, and, you know, through her I have, you know, children. But one thing that we have to note is that when a woman is part of your journey, she makes you the man you are. It's very hard to forget the contribution of such, you know, women, you know. So I think Khadija radiallahu anha, often, you know, we like to quote her business side of things, but we have to bear in mind most of her contribution was in spreading the deen with her finance and supporting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and looking after his household.
Yeah.
So much so that, you know, when the Prophet went away to the cave, you know, pre-prophecy, she would, I mean, climb up the mountain and take him his food and drink. Mm. That takes a lot of dedication as a wife. Mm. Sometimes if you look in modern time, you know, when the husband comes home, he's like, where's the food? In the microwave or in the oven?
In the microwave? Did somebody say just eat? I think there's more, more like it.
But think about how she really took care of her household. And that's why we appreciate that narration when the Prophet said to Khadija radiallahu anha that Jibril came to me and gives his salam and salam from Allah and says that you will be given a place where there's no noise. You know, think about it. Think about why no noise. Because maybe Khadija radiallahu anha, she was always around so much, you know, like say, so much going on, you know, that she was constantly that just was at it, you know. So to, you know, have that, you know, glad tiding, it says something about her life. Yeah. Her life was like full on supporting a prophet, taking care of lots of children, you know, at a time where Islam was, you know, received with hostility, you know.
Yeah.
There's boycott that she suffered. As a result, she passed away. So, subhanAllah, her life really, you know, shows us the role model of being a woman, being a wife, being a mother.
And being strong.
And being strong. You
that
know?
Is because that's not what we typically nowadays associate with strength. You know, strength is somebody, you know, swinging swords, etc., which is also strength. But one of the things that we discussed earlier on in the episode was the idea that strength doesn't just look one way. There's different kinds of strength.
Yes.
What about you?
I mean, I think, you know, I love what the fact that you said that, you know, in terms of studying lots of different women, because as women, like you said, we are mothers, we are wives, we are, you know, teachers, we are really the nurturers of society, and we have so many different roles. I was going to say hats, but I would say hijabs, but we have so many different roles. And when you go through life, you know, it's good to kind of pull a different woman and her strengths along that way. So it may be that you are feeling, you know, physically weak, and then you look to Nusaybah, you know, and you think, wow, could I, you know, and I do, you know, could I pick up that sword and could I defend the Prophet?
But let's talk about Nusaybah for a minute, because there could be viewers who don't even know who you're talking about. Tell us a little bit about Nusaybah's story.
So, subhanAllah, I was so blessed to have gone on Umrah and gone to the position where she was a woman who, mashallah, tabarakah, defended the Prophet, you know, and took
physically,
you know, and took blows, you know, like, subhanAllah, you know, and think about the swords. It's not just like a little whip.
I mean, tried to lift a sword before?
Yes, and they are so heavy. You know, so when you're thinking about, you know, that role, defending the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that he could be pushed away and looked after in the cave, you know, and she took those blows for him, you know, and you know that story is so phenomenal. And if the viewers don't know, they should look it up and connect with it more. But the physical strength that she had, and not just physical strength, but the bravery, the courageousness,
that's, you know, a strong heart.
That is
physical strength,
because you
that's
know
a
you're
manifestation
gonna die.
Of what's in your heart, for
you
sure.
You know you're going to die there, but you have that trust in Allah.
SubhanAllah. You know, that makes me think of the story of Sumayya, you know, radiallahu anha, the first martyr in Islam. And again, if the viewers haven't heard, then definitely somebody to look up. But, you know, it's mentioned in the sources that obviously she was tortured horrifically, her and her son on the hot, you know, the hot sand, you know, being really tortured in a way that we don't really want to describe on TV. You know, and never taking it back, the la ilaha illallah, the shahada, refusing to take it back. And actually it says in the sources that, you know, they were allowed to take it back, they were allowed to lie, but there are no records of her or any other women basically taking back their shahada, that they stood firm with that. So subhanAllah, like you said, it's that physical strength, obviously, but the physical strength is coming from a strong heart, from a strong iman, subhanAllah.
Definitely. And even like, subhanAllah, when we go back to Khadija radiallahu anha, she stood by her husband because she saw that to be truth. And she was the first woman to believe in that truth. And whatever came in that package of truth, she was willing to you know, take yeah, it and yeah. sacrifice and just, you know, hold on strong, subhanAllah. Can you imagine, you know, going through the, you know, year of boycott and, you know, not having much provision, you know, subhanAllah, how it must have been, mm, but still.
Mm. And after living the life that she lived before.
Exactly.
That's another
exactly.
thing as well. Like, mm. after living the life that she lived before mm. and enjoying the wealth, enjoying the high status, mm. enjoying, you know, the sense of belonging yeah. and the privilege that comes mm. with mm. being of Quraysh, etc. Yeah. And then this being mm. your reality. Mm. A lot of us, how many of us, if we're honest, how many of us would be okay with yeah, that, yeah. you know?
Well, I actually personally draw my strength from Hajar. May Allah be pleased with her.
May Allah be
because
pleased
I think, you know, out of all the women in terms of strength, I mean, to be left in the middle of the desert with her baby and her husband walking away and him not even being able to tell her what's going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, yeah, subhanAllah, you know, literally without no people, with a new baby, mm. baby, and just little provisions, and then those provisions running out, mm. and the fact that she didn't just sit down and just, you know, and pity, and cry herself.
There's no
you know.
Reports of her doing any of that,
no.
you know, crying, but, sitting down,
yeah.
you know, tearing her hair out. She was action, action,
yes.
action. And sorry, can I just say to yeah. jump in, because if you've done Sa'i,
yes.
you know the difference yes. between, but you exactly. know the distance between yeah. Safa and Marwa.
Yes.
It's not yeah. around the corner,
yeah.
it's on the other end.
Yes,
and she
exactly.
did that 7 times.
Yes.
Who knows what she was looking for,
exactly.
and what she thought she was going yeah. to find doing that journey's parallel.
And the fact that, you know, from that, you know, our Hajj, our pilgrimage comes from her walk,
yeah.
and then the blessed Zamzam, and I mean, we can talk about yeah. that whole experience, but as a woman,
Allah
her Allah. Strength,
yeah.
subhanAllah.
And proactivity as well, because
yes.
she wasn't just thinking, okay, this is it, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
But she got up and took the matters into
yes.
her own
yeah.
hand by the will of Allah.
Yes.
And not once, 7 times. So yeah. it's not like, oh, you tried
she
once
looked,
and then
she
you
didn't
go,
find anything and she came back and she was like, okay,
and then
that's
twice,
it.
Oh,
yeah.
7 times.
But one thing also highlights is that, you know, subhanAllah, you know, when she said to Ibrahim alayhi salam that, you know, is this a command from Allah?
Mm.
And then
yes.
he obviously kept quiet, and then she said, then Allah's not going to abandon us.
Yes.
And subhanAllah, I was thinking, as a mother with a baby, you know, when you leave your baby unattended, you feel a bit of anxiety.
Yeah.
There was no one to mm. look after the baby, but irrespective of that, she still left the baby unattended
mm.
in a foreign, barren land, and she was going up and down. And subhanAllah, that shows us that her level of tawakkul was mm-hmm. very
yes.
strong, because she knew that, okay, this is a command of Allah. Allah's not going to, you know, abandon me.
Yes.
I just need to do what I need to do.
Yes.
And that's the thing, you know, if we all did what we are supposed to do, like meaning take action,
yeah.
not inaction, then you will see how Allah will open the doors, you know.
And starting off with du'as first.
Yeah.
And having, you know, so you have your intention, but you make your du'as. You know, you have that certainty, like you said, that tawakkul, that Allah is going to do something, but you don't just sit there, like
yeah.
you said.
Yeah.
You do something about it.
Yeah.
And then it's sabr, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's having that sabr.
And I think all the women, when we look into their lives, one thing that it really jumps out is their level of faith and how they accepted the decree that Allah, you know, gave.
It's like the package of faith, right?
Yeah.
It's, this is what, I think, that when you see the women from the past, you can see that they understood the deal on the table.
Mm-hmm.
If you accept this, this yeah. is what it comes with,
yeah.
right? The hardship, the boycotting, the challenges, you know, the difficulty, the loss. How
yes.
many women do we know whose husbands did not embrace Islam
yeah.
and then they had to, you know, to be separated from them? You know, people whose children didn't accept Islam,
yes.
you know, people who made hijrah, leaving
yes.
entire families, entire, yeah. you know, families, wealth, name,
yeah.
status, everything for the sake of this truth. And I just can't help thinking that we as Muslims, we've lost that.
Mm.
We've lost that understanding that, will you be left to say, do we think that we will be left to say that we believe and not be tested?
Yeah.
As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily we tested those who were before you.
Yeah.
And those women understood that. They got it.
And also, subhanAllah, you know, the same surah when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questions that right towards the end, you know, in Surah Ankabut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُ فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That those who strive towards our path
mm-hmm.
with their faith, You know, we will give them a, you know, we will guide them upon that path. And then Allah says, you know, and we are with those who are doing the good deeds, the doers of good deeds, you know. So here's the thing, you know, if you submit to Allah, if you have faith and you strive with whatever you have in your, like, you know, say means, you strive, like Hajar alayhi salam, Khadija radiallahu anha, Nusayba radiallahu anha, you strive, as long as that mujahada is there, Allah sees that. Everyone's level of mujahada is different. Some have to strive with their sword, some have to strive with their patience, some have to strive with their tawakkul. Whatever that striving is, so as long as you do that, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will guide you upon that path of faith. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, wa inna Allah la ma'al muhsinin. Allah is with those who are doing the good, you know. Subhanallah, if you have the companionship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what do we have to worry? But we have to do our part, and that is the striving. Like Hajar alayhi salam, Khadija radiallahu anha, Nusayba.
There's no examples of people, any people from the past who, you know, accepted faith, went through trials and just sat with it. So even though sometimes we have this idea that, you know, patience is sitting with it, patience is being quiet, patience is just accepting, you know, whatever is coming your way. I like the way that you juxtapose, you know, the patience with the tawakkul and the action, right?
Patience doesn't mean inaction. Patience means that you are, you know, being like, you know, what's that word? You're waiting for things to unfold, but in that period of waiting, you're doing your bit as well. You know, that's what patience is, you know, that you're not complaining, but rather you are going with emotion and you are going to see what's going to come your way, but you will do your bit.
I love that. And subhanAllah, to see that strength, there's different types of strengths embodied in all these different figures from our past as Muslim women, so inspiring and so motivating. And may Allah make it easy for us to learn more about those women. So what about you, sis? What have you taken from our discussion so far and from the episode so far? We hope that you are inspired to find out more about the women from Islam's glorious past. Please do share your takeaways on social media and make sure that you tag Iman Channel and me, Naima B. Robert. For now, it's time to go to my parting thoughts. Let's do it. This is a reminder to you, my sister. As believing women, we are strong. We are brave. We are resourceful, daring, and will give our lives for the ones we love. And we always have done. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fashioned us that way. Our strength, whether it was in the fields, by the fire, on the birthing stool, or even in the battlefield, was used to nurture, preserve, and protect life. Our innate strength is a force that scales mountains, crosses deserts, faces starvation, all for the sake of a hungry child at the doors of death. Now, if in some cultures women are thought of as weak, it is a result of our cultural conditioning, not a reflection of our potential or our nature. Learning about the fortitude of Maryam alayhi salam is proof of that. Fir'aun's wife Asiya, Musa's mother Hajar, these are all proof of that. Khadija, Aisha, Asma, Salama, and the countless other Muslim women, may Allah be pleased with them, are all proof of that. The mothers, the resistors, the survivors in Palestine, Afghanistan, Syria are all proof of that. And we are proof of that. Every one of you right now is showing up with strength and courage every day, every hour, every minute. And yet, by the grace of Allah, we are unbroken. Still we smile, still we love, still we give, even when it appears that we have nothing left to give. This is a part of the gift of being a woman, a believing woman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with humility, confidence, and strength, so that we may follow in the footsteps of the righteous who came before us, fulfill the roles He has given us, and be an example to those who come after us. Ameen. I'll see you in the next episode, inshallah.